We shall now turn to the portion read, the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And we may read from verse 15, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And I believe that these words of counsel from the Lord are appropriate on an occasion like this, when we have left behind another year in time, and we have now entered a new year in time. None of us know, as we often say, what a day will bring forth. None of us have any idea whether we shall reach the end of this year, what will take place in our experiences or in our providences. And in the present prevailing situation, there are many people who are anxious. They are concerned about what is likely to happen, what they think might happen with regard to employment, with regard to health or sickness, and many other things. And the Church of Christ is facing darker, ever increasingly darker times at this present moment in history. And as we see our society becoming ever more secularized, and we see the awful prevailing ignorance of so many claiming to be the Lord's people, we wonder, well, what is the future for the church? What is to become of it? What is our duty? What should we be thinking? What should we be doing? And no doubt, when we look at the context in which we find these words, we can identify, at least to some degree, with the sentiments expressed by these people and the situation in which they find themselves. You will see that in verse 10, we read there, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, it was as though this was something they were not expecting to happen, because they had just experienced God's great deliverance, and they had been witnesses to the fearful plagues that God had sent to Egypt, and how he had humbled the mighty Pharaoh. And perhaps they had it in their mind, now we're free, we're liberated, now we can go forward to the promised land, we can forget all about Pharaoh. We can forget we were ever slaves. But look what happens here. Behold, perhaps hadn't much of an idea what they would see in their way to the promised land, but it seems here they're shocked. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Now that means they were very afraid. They weren't just anxious or afraid, they were really exceedingly afraid. You just imagine what would pass through their minds. Well, if these Egyptians are coming behind us, they've only one intention, that is to take us back brutally back to Egypt. And it won't be a matter then of withholding straw when we make bricks. Our taskmasters will be more cruel, more brutal than ever, because look at what Pharaoh and his servants were saying. In verse 5, why have we done this? It was as though they've suddenly come to their senses. What were we thinking about? And they would perhaps acknowledge, well, we were plagued and we were fed up with this Moses and Aaron and these people, and we wanted some peace and we thought we would have it, but now we're missing all these slaves, all this slave labor. What about the economy? What about our society? We need to have them back again. And so they pursue them. But what happens whenever these Israelites get a view of them? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Here are a people wondering what is going to happen to us now. What is the future now? We had a future and a purpose before we got a sight of these Egyptians. Now the sight of them has shattered our expectations. So where do we go now? What happens now? And God speaks, and he speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses, command these people that they go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And when we consider the context, we shall see that this was going to be a real test of these people. And we, in considering these words, we will just look at three simple matters. First of all, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They are to go forward at God's command. Forward at God's command. He doesn't tell them to surrender to the Egyptians and make it easy for themselves. He says, go forward. Then the second matter that we may consider is that they are to go forward, not just at God's command, they are to go forward by faith, because there is no other possible way that they will make any progress under the circumstances. And the third matter is they are to go forward in order to inherit the promise. They are to receive an inheritance that was promised to them by God. And this is the path to that inheritance. And they must go forward if they are to receive it. So these are the three simple matters that we may note. First of all, then, they are to go forward, however impossible it seems, by God's commandment. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. There's a time to speak to God, and there's a time to speak to his people. Moses, you've been speaking to me, now speak to them and tell them from me that they are to go forward. Now, the God who is telling them to do this has been revealing himself in remarkable ways to them. You go way back in the book of Exodus to the call of Moses to go down into Egypt and lead these people out of bondage. Moses was very anxious. Well, what will the response be of these people that I've been sent to? When I come and tell them, God has sent me to lead you out of bondage, well, they're going to understandably inquire, well, who's this God that has sent you? And you will see there is, from chapter 3 right through to where we are in chapter 14, an amazing combination of statements by God who is now speaking here. In verse 6 of chapter 3 of Exodus, here's Moses having this encounter with God in the wilderness, And he sees a bush that burns but is not consumed, and he's marveling at it, and he seeks to inquire and be inquisitive, well, why is this? And then in verse 5 of Exodus 3, God said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, that's important. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moreover, draw not nigh the place whereon you stand is hallowed or holy ground, because you're in the presence of the God of your father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses was learning then of how to present himself, what God expected of him when he would appear in his presence. And then notice, after God has declared to Moses who he is, in verse 10 of chapter 3, God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now if you want to go through an exercise, edifying, go through these chapters, and first of all, note how many times God declares who he is. I am. Again and again. In verse 14 of chapter 3 here, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he told Moses, you tell them, I am has sent you. And you will see again as you go through these chapters, in verse 6 of chapter 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am. Always Moses must stress this. The God that we're dealing with is the great I am. In verse 7 of this same chapter, I am the Lord your God. Verse 8, at the end of it, I am the Lord. The same chapter, verse 29, the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. And again, chapter 7, verse 5, and you can go on. But then always, when God is saying this, he goes on to always say something else. I will. And you will see this repeatedly. God says, I am. And then he says, I will. I will. Going back to chapter 3, verse 12, he said, certainly, I will be with thee. Verse 17, I have said, I will bring you out of affliction. Verse 20, I will stretch out my hand. And you can go right through these chapters and see this constantly, this connection between God's statement, I am, and because of who I am, I will. No one else could do that. They might imagine they might do something, but when God says, I will, it's as certain as God's own existence. Because of who I am, I will. Whatever I purpose, whatever I plan, that's what I will do. That is what I will be. And here in chapter 14, God says to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, the I am who will do. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, where are they when God tells them to do this? You go back to the beginning of the chapter. The Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn. That they turn. Oh, my God can say that. Whenever we're going in the direction that isn't right, God can say, turn. Or if we imagine we're on the right way, God can say, turn. And it's our wisdom to turn. God said, turn. Now they were progressing toward the promised land by the route that God had set out before them. Remember, they're guided by God day and night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They're not going at on their own route as planned by themselves, just led by Moses. No, God is leading them step by step, stage by stage. And here, as they're progressing, God says to Moses, now they're to turn. Now that must have been mysterious. Why would God tell us to turn back? But that was necessary because God had a purpose. And what we learn here is that the purposes of God can be very mysterious to us. And we might think, well, is this not rather a foolish thing? Is this not a step in the wrong direction? But that's what God said. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Ziphon. Before it shall ye camp by the sea. He told them exactly where he wanted them to camp. And why was this? For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. What will Pharaoh say? These people don't know where they're going. They've lost all sense of direction. They're coming and going. Now they're coming back. They don't know where they're going. They're in confusion. Now we can move in and take them back into bondage. But you see, God had a very wise purpose. And when God told them that they were to turn back and they were to encamp in a certain place, it was because he had a very definite plan. And he was saying, I am and I will. And what will I do? Well, God said that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And in verse 17 of this chapter 14, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. If Pharaoh refuses to honor me, I will get honor upon him. What a solemn warning when you think of it, Pharaoh. What's man's chief end? To glorify God, to honor God. And God says, well, if Pharaoh won't honor me, I'm going to get honor anyway. I will get it my way. If he refuses to give it, I will take it. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. And so God says to his people, turn back. I want you to be in a precise situation. I want you to camp where it is according to my plan for my purpose. And in verse 4 we read, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Here are these Egyptians, including Pharaoh, and they're very, very slow learners. And no matter how God teaches them, they never seem to learn. You go back to when God sends Moses in before Pharaoh, Moses comes to declare the mind of God to Pharaoh, that God commands you, let my people go that they may serve me. You go to chapter 5. And what's Pharaoh's response? Verse 2. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Well, God says to Moses, the Egyptians are going to know that I am the Lord. Pharaoh's been inquiring, who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Well, God says, Pharaoh, you will know the Lord all right. You will know him when he sends plagues. You will know him when he takes away your firstborn. And yet, all the evidence is rejected. Stubbornly, the mighty Pharaoh refuses to submit. What does God say? The hour is coming when Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to know who the Lord is, but they're going to know in a way that will be most unpleasant. If we don't learn the easy way, sometimes God has to teach us the hard way. And that's what he does with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But here they are, and we read at the end of verse 4 in this chapter 14, when God gives instructions, this is where you're to camp, they did so. They didn't argue with Moses, and Moses didn't argue with God, and they didn't murmur thinking, well, we wanted to keep going forward, and why are we told to turn? No, they did so. And so God has them where he wants them. And he has them where he wants them for his purpose. And what is the purpose of God? He has told them away at the very beginning. He told Moses that he was going to take them out of Egyptian bondage and he was going to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. The land that was owned presently by the Canaanites and the Amorites and so on. Now here's God. I am the Lord. I will take you to the land. I will fulfill my promise. I'm not just going to redeem you and release you out of Egyptian bondage and then leave you after that to wander wherever you will, to make your own plans and to go your own way as best you can. No, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and I'm going to take you into the promised land. I am going to keep my promise. And here as he's fulfilling his promise, God says, I want you to camp here. Now it seemed the most irresponsible thing that Moses and the children of Israel could do. Because here they're shutting themselves in. Of course, they weren't expecting Pharaoh and his army. You imagine if they'd seen Pharaoh and his army sooner than they did, they would be crying out, Moses, get out of this. We're not going to camp here. This is the most dangerous place. We're exposed. We're vulnerable. But you see what God does. And if you're a child of God, maybe you've experienced this. God in his wisdom hides certain things from you. Doesn't give you all the information at once. He gives you what you need to know and what is appropriate at any moment. And he didn't tell the Israelites the Egyptians are already coming after you. And he didn't give them that sight that was so terrifying. And there they were. They did so. They camped. And then they discover Pharaoh is drawing nigh. Verse 10, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and when they lifted up their eyes, then they lifted up their voices in the presence of God. But you see what they did. They cried unto the Lord. And then what did they do? They knew they were in trouble. They knew we're exposed. We're really vulnerable. We're in real danger here. It was real. And they said unto Moses, verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They are just in complete despair. We're going to die here. We're going to perish. What is God directing us here for? We'd have been better to die in Egypt. We would have found a grave in Egypt. Where are we going to be buried here in this wilderness? No man's land. You see what happens when people begin to lose faith in God? What happens? They start blaming someone else for their troubles. Here, they're afraid. So what do? They blame Moses. Moses, if you'd left us alone, we wouldn't be in this predicament. We'd have been far better to stay in Egypt. We mightn't have it very easy, but at least we'd have a grave. Here, we're going to die in this wilderness, and Moses, you're to blame for it. Isn't that what happens? Isn't that what people do? When things are not going according to their little plan. Or God upsets the apple cart, as they say, for them. What do? Oh, well, they wouldn't dare to blame God. Because God doesn't make any mistakes. They mightn't understand what God's doing. But they're sure to find some scapegoat. They're sure to find someone to blame. And that's what they did. And they were murmuring against Moses. Isn't that what human nature is like? But what did God say? God heard them. And in verse 13, Moses, here you see one of those very beautiful moments in the life and in the experience of Moses. Moses, we are told, was the meekest man in the earth. Now you just imagine, how would you feel if you had come and you had brought these people out of Egypt, left the taskmasters behind, slavery behind, you're heading now for the promised land. God is going before you. And Moses now is listening to them. And what are they saying? We should never have listened to you, Moses. We should never have taken your advice. We should have stayed in Egypt. And they're criticizing him. They're blaming him. Does Moses retaliate? Does Moses get angry? Does Moses respond, my, you're an ungrateful lot? No, he doesn't. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What a beautiful response. The meek and the lowly spirit of Christ shines through here in Moses. You just think, if you'd have been in Moses' shoes, how you would have reacted. But this is Moses by the grace of God. He's not concerned about himself, as it were, or his reputation. He's more concerned with these people and their pressing needs. And so he says, fear not. I know you're afraid. And I know when you get afraid and you become anxious, you don't always think rationally. And you don't always reason as you should. And he says here, fear not. Stand still. It was as though he was saying, now calm down. Stand still. Let's think of what's going on and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, most certainly later on, they are going to see the salvation of the Lord, literally. They're going to see the Red Sea opening up that they can cross over. And they're going to see the corpses of the Egyptians on the shores of the sea. They are going to see literally the salvation of the Lord. But here, what does Moses tell them to do? Stand still. Stop complaining, stop murmuring, stop looking back, and see. Before it even happens, see with the eye of faith. See the power of God. See now the salvation of the Lord. And then once you see it with the eye of faith, it will fortify you to do the will of God, to go forward, because they knew, we've already seen it by faith. We've got our eye upon God. Notice where they are and how they need to stand still. Because what are they? Where are they? Their camp where God has them. They're hemmed in. The sea is before them. Humanly speaking, they can't go forward. Pharaoh and his mighty army are behind them. They can't go back. Left and right, there's a wilderness on one side, and there's the fortresses of Egypt on the other side, prohibiting them from going in any direction. So they look forward, it's impossible. They look back, it's impossible. They look east, they look west, every direction is shut up against them. There's only one place left now for them, to look up. That's the only place left now for them. They've got to look up. And that's what Moses is telling them to do. Fear not, stand still, and look up, and see by faith the triumphant I Am. The one who said when he was bringing you out of Egypt, I will. I will. Now look up and see He who is in the throne above the mighty Pharaoh, He who is going to show Pharaoh who is on the throne today. And sometimes, sadly, the devil, the adversary, the tempter, he will have the people of God confused and anxious, lamenting, terrified. And you know what happens? They get all in a tizzy, as we would say, and they feel to stop. Stand still and look up. Look up and see the God who has made His promise. Look up and see what God is going to do. And then go forward. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you. He's going to show it, but you can see it before it actually happens by faith. And now they are commanded to go forward by faith. There's no other way they can go forward. Go forward. God doesn't say go back or go in any other direction. Go forward. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Because all their crying wasn't going to change anything. They've got to step forward by faith. You remember the promise that God gave to his people of old there in the prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 43. God, to comfort his people, verse 1 of Isaiah 43, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." And that's what God was saying to these people, fear not, I've redeemed thee. Recall the night, the last night you were in Egypt, when the angel of death and judgment passed through the land, you sheltered under the protection of the blood. You've been redeemed, not with silver and gold, because they couldn't buy their way out of Egypt, but they were redeemed by precious blood, the blood of the Lamb that was slain. And what is God saying to them now in their predicament? Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Even in this terrible predicament, you still belong to me. And you may be terrified by your surroundings, but you still belong to me. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And now God is saying, the one who has guided them right up to this moment, he's gone before them. Is he now going to desert them at this dark hour? Of course not. Look at what happens. We read that in verse 20, verse 19 rather, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel. They weren't going in their own. The angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel. He removed and went behind them. What was he doing that for? He was coming between the Egyptians and the Israelites. He was standing, as it were, as their great shield and defender. Moses, we're told, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You go back to the time when God is plaguing Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and as God sends the plagues one by one to bring Pharaoh to his senses, to make him willing to let his people go, he refuses. But you go back to chapter 10, verse 13, and Pharaoh is longing and yearning that this great plague of locusts would be removed, or that is, sent upon them. Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon all the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Notice, the east wind brought the plague, brought the judgment upon the Egyptians. And yet here the same wind, the east wind, God uses it for the salvation of his people, to dry up the sea, to make a path through it. God's very instruments can be a judgment or a blessing. And the very instrument that God used as a judgment on his enemies was used for the deliverance of the Israelites. How remarkable is the power of God, the instruments that he uses, the means that he employs for judgment and for salvation. But here the cloud comes between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, so that the Egyptians are thrown into confusion. And what do we read? Verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. To make things more difficult, you remember whenever God sent Elijah to Ahab to go to the top of Mount Carmel and restore the altar of the Lord and offer up a sacrifice to God, he told them to empty water 7 times upon the altar, upon the sacrifice, to make it, as it were, more difficult, because God's power is unlimited. There are no difficulties for God. Did you ever think of that? God doesn't have any difficulty with anything. And you and I have 1,000 of them a day sometimes. And God doesn't even have one difficulty. And so, when does he take them across the Red Sea? At night. He takes them over at night. And he puts a cloud, he puts the cloud behind the children of Israel, and you can imagine these Egyptians, they're very eager to get hold of these Israelites. And then they can't find them because they can't see them. Just like it was in the days of the Covenanters, when Alexander Peden and even others, when the dragoons were closing in upon them, what did God do? He cast what Peden said was the mantle of his mist. He cast it over the hill and he enveloped Peden in it, and the dragoons couldn't find him. And this is what God does. He doesn't have a problem. You can imagine these poor Israelites. They're trembling, they're afraid. And you think, what did you need to be afraid of? And when they're safe on the other side, they must have looked back and they saw what God did. God, in verse 24, came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now they're coming to their senses, but it's too late. And you see, whenever God acts, he's unlimited power to act. He has unlimited wisdom to plan and purpose. And you imagine these Israelites, they were sore afraid. They were lamenting to Moses, why on earth have you brought us here? This is utter disaster. All we can see is death staring us in the face. We're going to die in the wilderness. There's nothing more sure. You can imagine when they look back and they see the Egyptians, the chariots, the horses, the Egyptians, and there they are scattered on the shores of the sea. They must have been whispering to one another, why were we so afraid? Why were we so anxious? Why did we not trust God? We saw his mighty works before. What was wrong with us? What happened to us? Why did we panic? Why were we so alarmed? We should have known what God would do. We should have known from past experience what God will do. And that is one of the great blessings of the Christian's life. The further they journey along the way, the more they are able to look back and they are able to see what God did here, what God did then. And then they can trust God. That's what he did before. This is what he's going to do now. And so God says to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel. Their reason will tell them it's impossible. The very scientist, if he was around, the wise men of Egypt, might be saying, it's impossible. God's saying, go forward when you can't go forward. They must take a step in faith. They must trust God. They must rely on his word. They must believe God. As Charles Wesley once wrote, those most encouraging words, faith, mighty faith the promise sees, and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. That's what a living faith does. Laughs at the impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. If God says, I will, I believe that God will. And therefore, they are now to move forward by faith. We know not what lies before us. We look back. And we think of the difficulties, the trials, the troubles of the year that's passed. We don't know what the devil is planning already for this year. He's been busy last year. We don't expect him to go on vacation this year. But this we do know. God never tells his people to compromise, to sell out, to surrender. He tells them, go forward. Why? Because he keeps his word. And they are to go forward in order to receive their inheritance. They're not going forward into disaster. You see, God planned the route for them. And you go back to see when they start out that they didn't, chapter 13, we read verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them, not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Now that's the way they might have expected to go. But God didn't lead them that way. You see, he had his own way to lead them, though that was near. Now, what are we like by nature? We like things to be done in a hurry. And we like God to do things in a hurry. And we like that God would hurry up when he's fulfilling his own plan. But though there was a way that was nearer, God said, no, that's not the way I'm taking you. So they were having to learn patience from the very beginning. God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. I tell you, God knows far more about you and I than we know about ourselves. And he knew here of these people. They've never seen war. They've just been slaves for hundreds of years. God was protecting them. And so when he takes them by the long route rather than the short route, it's because he cares for them. It's because he would protect them. It's because he wants to ensure they will reach the promised land. And you might wonder sometimes about the direction that God might guide you or lead you and think it's a strange route, but no, God knows what he's doing. And he did with the Israelites. And we read verse 18, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. Well, there wasn't much pleasant about the wilderness. There wasn't much that was enticing about the wilderness, nothing attractive. But he led them through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. That's how God led them. You see, you and I need to learn patience. And we need to learn to be submissive to God's ways, because what does God say? My ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so when God seems to be delaying progress, should we get alarmed and begin to question? No, we should be submissive. And the Lord, we're told, chapter 13 again, verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. How amazing. What a provision God made. He led them in the right way, the psalmist tells us. And here now they've come to this point. It seems there's no progress from now on. But no, no, God says to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. This may be what seems to them impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I said I would bring them to the promised land, and I will do it. Therefore, they are to go forward by faith to receive their inheritance. And my, whenever the people of God, when they're eventually in glory, looking back, they will marvel. They will marvel, though here in this world, they were anxious, they were concerned, many times mystified. What is God doing? And they may even be brought sometimes to question their faith in God, thinking to themselves, tempted by the devil, perhaps I don't even know God. And that's why I'm confused. Perhaps I'm not even trusting in God at all, and that's why I'm meeting with these difficulties. They will look back, and they will marvel at the way that God led them. And all the way that he brought them, step by step, stage by stage, keeping them hanging on himself, leaving them no opportunity, as it were, to rely on the flesh or to trust to themselves, but always keeping them looking upward. Isn't that why we get into so much trouble? We look all around us, and then we look inward, and we look outward. But God brought the children of Israel into this corner, as it were, when there's only one place they can look, and it's upward, to the mighty arm of God. And that should be a lesson for us going forward into this new year, to keep our gaze upward, to look within the veil, to the one who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go forward, because I'm on high and I'm ruling. And that's how it is. Keep our eyes upon Christ. Keep our eyes upon the one who redeemed us. And the one who redeemed Israel would bring them safely to their inheritance. And the one who has shed his blood to redeem his people is the one who will never leave them, never forsake them. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He will lead them. And as the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then what is his expectation? I will dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an expectation. And if you're a child of God today, that's your expectation. And because it is, what does the Lord say? Go forward by faith. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we give thee thanks that thou art ruling and reigning, and however difficult the path may be for thy people and thy church, thou art sovereign over all things. Enable us then, as we have stepped into this new year, to be going forward into it by faith, ever looking upward to see the one who is in control. Bless each one of thy dear people, strengthen them for whatever lies before them in thy will. And for those in our midst who as yet have not learned to look to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, may they be brought with a sense of need to look beyond themselves, to look to the Lamb who was slain and who is now in the midst of the throne. Oh, keep our eyes, we pray, looking to thyself. Pardon us now, receive us, for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.